בטחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב הנה מה טוב לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
We're continuing in this series based on some of the sayings of our founding Rabbi Robert Solomon. This series is called The Wisdom of Solomon. Okay, get ready, y'all. I'm just going to give you a fair warning. Get ready. Wow, boy, prepare yourselves. Why? Because I've got a boatload of scriptures today. You're going to have a tough time disagreeing with anything I'm going to say today. Why? Because I'm giving you so much scripture. My goodness, I'm going to absolutely rattle off like even about 70% more scripture, even than I typically do. And I typically give you a lot. Okay. So, but the reason is I have to do this. Follow along as best you can. I'm going to move quickly. So, if I'm going a little too quickly for you to follow along in your phone or the Bible, you can always go back and watch it on the stream and hit the pause button if necessary. But I want for you to get the picture. So even more today, again, it's all recorded. You'll be able to look at it online. I want you to follow this journey. I'm going to take you on a journey. It's a little more of a teaching than a preaching today. I'm going to take you on a journey through scriptures that tells a story, really. It's really a singular story. And I'll tell you, the scriptures I'm going to share with you, even though there are so many and they're so crystal clear, it's just a very, very, it's just a smidgen, a small bissel of the total number of scriptures that are in the Bible about this topic. So I could give you many, many, many more. In fact, I had so many more and I cut it down to this. So many scriptures talk about this topic and explain it in such a clear way. It baffles me how anybody claiming to be a follower of Messiah and a believer of this book can't see it. It is so unambiguously crystal clear, and it has implications even into today. Okay, so what am I talking about? Well, as we are celebrating, of course, Passover, the freeing of our people from bondage in Egypt, we are going to be talking about Israel today. Okay, I'm going to be giving you a whole bunch of scriptures to paint a picture for you about Israel, because you need to know and be aware, especially since Israel even today is on the front page every day in all the major world headlines. Because friends, God's faithfulness to Israel has massive implications for us today. I'm telling you, I'm not just talking about just the basic understanding of Israel and kind of like, oh, well, that place over there or them that are in that land over there. And it's interesting to know from a biblical perspective. No, what I'm telling you is if you understand what's going on over there and the whole picture here, it's going to impact your personal life and your personal walk. Because if you understand God's faithfulness to Israel, you'll better understand God's faithfulness to you. Amen. Okay, follow me. Genesis chapter 13. Here we go. We're going to walk on a journey. We got to start with good old Abe. Honest Abe, Avraham, Avraham Avinu, Abraham, our father. A God called Abram out of Ur. He took him to the land that would become Israel. Okay, again, I'm giving you scriptures. I want you to kind of mentally, even if you don't physically, mentally follow along with the story and the message that God so clearly shows in his scripture. So he took him out of the land of Ur, which is modern day Kuwait or thereabouts, and he took him to the land that would become Israel. And once he brought him to the land of Israel, in fact, a special place, Beit El, he made a promise to him. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. Here's what happened. After Lot separated himself from him, being Abram, Adonai said to Abram, here's what God himself says to Abram, Abraham, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. For all the land you are looking at, I will give it to you and your seed forever. Amen. Answer me this. Is he giving him this land? Is it only till Messiah comes? No, it's not, is it? Right? It's very interesting. It's like, okay, hold on. Well, when the Messiah comes, that no, my friends. How long? How long? Exactly. God says it's really clear. Forever. I will give to you and to your seed forever. Forever means forever. If brother or sister, if you are a follower of God, and if you don't believe that when he says forever, it means forever, then you in trouble. Because he makes promises to you that are forever promises. If he's going to go back on his promise he made to Israel when he says forever, then he could just as well go back on his promise to you. No, my friend. He is a promise-keeping God. You can take it to the Chase Manhattan of heaven. If he says it, he's going to do it. And if he says it to you and he's going to give you eternal life, he's going to do it. But the way you know it is because of what he did with Israel. You can see it. He's given you evidence to show, to prove himself. It is an eternal land grant to Abraham and his descendants. Skipping to chapter 15, just a couple pages or a swipe or two down. Genesis 15, verse 18, it says this. On that day, Adonai cut a covenant with Abram, saying, I give this land to your seed from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates River. Friends, I'm not the one who said it. That's what it says in the book. To be clear, this is a very large portion of land. It is obviously more than Israel has today. I assume you all know that. Okay, so God has vowed a land grant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Abraham first, though, we're talking about here, the father of the Jewish people. But hold on, wait, isn't Abraham also the father of the Arab people also through Ishmael? Yes, he is. And God said he was going to bless Ishmael and his descendants who are the Arab people today. Where do you find that? Two chapters more, Genesis 17. Let's read what the book says. We got to know what God has to say about this situation, because sure enough, as you know, Abraham had two kids, had two here. We're talking about, he had Isaac and he had Ishmael. Ishmael first, then he had Isaac. And so what's the deal there? Ishmael, you know, was something that Abraham kind of arranged. I'll just put it that way, you know, but Isaac is one that God arranged, if you will. But nonetheless, both would be blessed. Okay, Genesis 17, 19, but God said, because Abraham said, hey, what about Ishmael? Are you going to bless him? But God said, on the contrary, Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you must name him Isaac. So I will confirm my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. See, I have blessed him. And I will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him very, very much. He will father 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at the set time next year. Friends, I want you to know, I hope you understand, God loves the Arab people. He sincerely does. They have a special place in his heart on account of Abraham. And indeed, God has done exactly what he said he would do for the descendants of Ishmael in Genesis chapter 17. God has made them fruitful, and they reign over most of the Middle East, as you know. They are our cousins, if you will. At the same time, God makes it explicitly clear. This is not ambiguous. It's incredibly explicit that the covenant that he made through Abraham would be through Isaac, one of the patriarchs of the Jewish people. Very interesting here. Some of our people over the years in Israel have said, wow, did God really have to give us the only part of the Middle East with no oil? I understand. It's kind of a funny thing, but okay. See, friends, there are a couple of relevant points here about this covenant that God cut with Abram, with Abraham and Isaac, and then Jacob and the Jewish people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob begat the 12 tribes, which you see surrounding you with all these windows here that consist of the Jewish people of today. First, my friends, God's covenant with Abraham was not conditional. Do you notice this? This is pretty interesting as we read this in Scripture. His covenant with Abraham to give him and his descendants this land was not conditional. Friends, there are many conditional promises of God. Things that are definitely promises, but are conditional. If you do this, God will do that. But this is not one of them. God says he cut the covenant. It's not a covenant that had to be equally shared. God is the one who cut the covenant. God is faithful and will fulfill his promises. Some of you need to hear that today in your personal life about God's faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, he is faithful. Oh man, he will fulfill that which he has promised in your life and what you read in the word for yourself, if you follow him. But some think that God's promises are all unconditional, and they're not. And some people quote scriptures as if it's a completely unconditional promise, but it's not. The majority are actually conditional. God says, I will bless them that bless thee. They shall prosper who love Jerusalem. If you obey me, Israel, you'll eat the fat of the land. If you do not, I will scatter you. He will direct your paths if in all your ways you acknowledge him. The devil will flee from you if you resist him and submit to the Lord. You see here, these are very strong promises you can count on, but many of them are conditional. But this covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, my friends, was unconditional. God gave them and their descendants this land forever. He cut the covenant by himself. Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Okay. Now, it's very, very important to understand this covenant that he made with the Jewish people. Did he do it because we were all that? The answer is no. God did not cut a covenant. You know, it's so interesting. This has been one of the greatest sources of historic anti-Semitism, because some people who are not Jewish resent the Jewish people because they're called God's chosen people. And some people have this kind of complex of saying, wow, God chose them. He didn't choose me. And it's like, and they resent it. And they come against the Jewish people. Friends, it's a total misunderstanding of what the scriptures say about this. We were chosen, yes, chosen for a purpose, and not chosen because we were the greatest of peoples. How do I know that? I'm so glad you asked. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, it says this, "For you are a holy people to Adonai your God. From all the peoples on the face of the earth, Adonai your God has chosen you to be his treasured people, Am Segula. It is not because you are more numerous than all the peoples that Adonai set his love on you and chose you, for you are the least of all peoples. Rather, because of his love for you and keeping the oath he swore to your fathers, Adonai brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Oh, hello, it's Passover. You know, I hope you're eating your matzah now. See, why do we have Passover? Why does God care so much about the Jewish people? It's not because we are so great a people and numerous a people. No, in fact, it's quite the opposite. It is so clearly out of His mercy that through our people, He can show that He is God. And it only makes sense if you just stop even logically and think about this. So the 10 plagues, we just had, you know, come on, blood, frogs, gnats, urine, cattle disease. You know, we flick out the wine of our cup, right? The cup of plagues during Passover, right? The 10 plagues that were all used and all specifically contravened the gods of Egypt. The crossing of the Red Sea when the whole ocean opened up so 2.5 to 3 million people could walk through it on dry ground. Friends, all these things we're remembering this week all go to show how God Himself did this. Let me tell you something. I may be a decent rabbi, but let me tell you something that I can't do in my own power. I can't part the ocean. Wow, that would be totally cool. And listen, you can say, well, Moses, it was God who did it through Moses. Make no mistake, friends. Although, man, Moses, he was a heavy hitter. Ooh, boy, no doubt. But the point is that it's God. God is the one who was showing off. God who was the one who is telling the rest of the world, hey, I am God. And when I make a promise, by gosh, I keep it. And I'm gonna make a promise to and choose these people, not because they're so great, it's because they're small. Why? So that they can't take credit for what happens. I take credit for what happens, God. Okay, same thing with all the more modern accomplishments of our people. How is it that so many Nobel Prize winners and the world's famous doctors and chemists all have Steen or Berg in their name? Okay, so many of them. Wow, is it because we're just all that? God Himself is showing that through this tiny people, He can do great things. It's a testimony to His greatness, not our greatness. Amen? Deuteronomy 28, okay, so He chose us. He promised us the land. We had the Exodus from Egypt. You all know the Exodus. We've been reading about it. You know, Dianu. We've all been doing it this week, man, with the Passover Seder. I hope you've been enjoying. So what happened? Once we got in the land, God told us. He was very clear to us. He was explicit to us. He was trying to keep us as His treasured possession and His people. He said this, if you obey me, you will eat the fat of the land. Obey me, my children. Obey me, my Jewish people, and if so, you'll eat the fat of the land. If you don't obey me, I will scatter you to the four corners of the earth. Okay, so what happened? We disobeyed. What happened? God scattered us to the four corners of the earth, right? God does what He says, and He means what He says, and says what He means. Deuteronomy 28:64 says this, Adonai will scatter you among all peoples from the one end of the earth to the other, and there you will serve other gods, wood and stone, that you and your fathers have not known. Among these nations you will find no rest. Oh boy, that's been so true. And there will be no rest for the sole of your foot. But there Adonai will give you a trembling heart and failing eyes and a despairing spirit. Your life will hang in the balance before you so many times in our people's history. You will be afraid night and day, and you will have no assurance of your life. In the morning, you will say, if it were only evening, and in the evening, you will say, if it were only morning. From the fear of your heart that you will fear, and the sight of your eyes that you will see. Oof, boy. Man, I have in my notes the word rough. That's a brutal passage, y'all. That is a brutal passage. When God said, okay, you're not going to obey me, I'm going to scatter you. I'm going to scatter you to the four corners of the earth. And oh my gosh, y'all, God, haven't our people suffered so much being scattered? And that scripture literally has come to pass. even in our lifetimes and in the lifetimes of our grandparents, this very scripture is, you know, gosh, did I mention Yom HaShoah is coming up in 2 weeks? And even today you see this demonic evil that's out there in the world that oppresses with an anti-Semitic, the Jewish people everywhere. You see it, but it's so rough. It's so difficult. It's difficult to read. It's difficult to conceptualize this scattering and the difficulty that our people would be going through. But has God abandoned our people? Are our people abandoned? No, the answer is no. Isaiah, please. Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 49. God has not abandoned our people. Disciplined, yes. Abandoned the covenant, no. Disciplined, yes. Abandoned, no. Explicitly, not implied, explicitly. In fact, Isaiah 40, we won't turn to it, said that Israel has suffered double for all her sins. Double. And so what is this? Has God abandoned us? Well, let's read what it says in Isaiah 49, verse 14, talking about the redemption phase. But Zion said, Adonai has forsaken me. Adonai has forgotten me. Is this the truth? Well, God answers that in verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing baby or lack compassion for a child of her womb? Even if these forget, I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. That is a touching love letter from God to the Jewish people. How interesting, have you ever thought about it, that he said that he would engrave us on the palms of his hands? It's a pretty tender spot, and a spot where other things happened. God will never abandon his people. This is why these conflicts that you see are a spiritual and not a carnal issue, because God is still involved in this. When it comes to Israel and the Jewish people, God doesn't just look from afar and says, eh, whatever. He is involved in the situation, explicitly right here. He said a woman would sooner forget her nursing child than I will forget you. No, I'll never forget you. I've engraved you, on the palm of my hands. You know, God gave us the tzitzit, the fringes, in the book of Numbers, the Jewish people, to remember the commandments he gave us. Why? You look down, you're doing something along the way, and you look down and you see the tzitzit, and it reminds you of God's commands. It's a powerful reminder, and most Jewish people, like in Yeshua's day, would have worn it as part of their regular garment, or their undergarment in a way, but that the fringes would be there and hanging out, and you could be seen, remind you of his commands. My gosh! If that's to remind you of something, how much more so and intimate if God says, I've engraved you, the Jewish people, on the palms of my hands. That's visceral, y'all. That's deep. That's intimate. That's so very powerful. Deuteronomy chapter 30, please. So, friends, this punishment that God would give our people, although severe, was not to be permanent. No, God made it crystal clear in scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, passage after passage after passage after passage, without even the slightest exaggeration, in fact, understating it. He said that this scattering of the Jewish people to the four corners of the earth and the difficulties that they would have being scattered to the four corners of the earth would be a severe punishment, but not be a permanent punishment. How do we know this? Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 3. Then Adonai your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you. And he will return and gather you from all the peoples where Adonai your God has scattered you. Even if your outcasts are at the ends of the heavens, from there Adonai your God will gather you. And from there he will bring you. Adonai, your God, will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, and you will possess it, and he will do you good and multiply you more than your fathers. Amen. Woo. Wow, you're talking about who are the indigenous people in Israel? My gosh, man, have you read this? That the Jewish people are the indigenous people. So God promised to one day bring us back to our own land that he had promised to us through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, one day, I don't care if it's to the ends of the world, the ends of heavens, I'm going to be bringing you back to your own land. And that brings us to the blue and white flag right there in modern day Israel, Isaiah chapter 51. That brings us to modern day Israel here. Now we read this, what will happen? You know, and it's interesting because there is a foreshadowing of our return from the scattering when the captives came home from the Babylonian captivity. But even that was merely a foreshadowing of the eventual regathering once and for all with all the parts of Israel, not two nations, all the parts of Israel together back into their land and permanently. Isaiah 51:11 says, now the ransomed of Adonai will return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will be upon their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Boy, how appropriate is that? I mean, when it says sorrow and sighing will flee away, and when they come back to Zion with singing, and boy, I think about Yom HaShoah coming up, and after the horrific time of the Shoah, the Holocaust, and when they were able to come back into their land. Unbelievable. And then we see this in Isaiah 61. God tells us more of what's going to be happening. And these are prophecies. This is a prophecy right here in Isaiah 61 that is happening today in your lifetime. In your lifetime, we see Isaiah 61, a prophecy written well over 2,500 years ago, come to pass in our day, in your generation. We see it with our physical eyes. This isn't some kind of implied spiritual symbolic thing. It's a literal fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah 61 verse 4, it says, they, being Israel, will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore former desolations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. And friends, this is exactly what has happened. All you got to do is just look at history and the facts. Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens himself, the author of Tom Sawyer, Mark Twain went to what is today Israel in the 1800s. And he said, what a wasteland. There's nothing here. This place is just desert and swamp. That's all this place is. And he just commented extensively, wrote about it, about how the land was just nothing. Nothing would grow there. It was a wasteland, a complete wasteland. This was 150 years ago. And you know what? God said this thousands of years ago, and it came to pass, and it's coming to pass today. Why? Because if you go to Israel today, you're going to see ruined cities that have turned into beautiful modern metropolises. You see flowers and grass growing and plants and fruitfulness and modern beautiful cities that were wastelands before. God is fulfilling this in our time, y'all. This is people wonder, I'm not even talking about Jewish people, I'm talking about our Christian brothers and sisters. Is the Bible true? I don't know. Is the Bible true? Look at Israel. Look at the exact precise fulfillment of specific scriptures to know this was written thousands of years ago, and yet we see it today. Unbelievable. The book of Amos, please, chapter 9. A lot of people knew about this guy. He was famous, Amos. A certain generation now, I'm losing Gen Z's on that one. Amos chapter 9, Amos 9, please, says this, verse 14. It says, yes, I will restore the captivity of my people Israel. They will rebuild desolated cities and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They also will make gardens and eat their fruit. Yes, I will plant them on their land, and they will, what? Never again be plucked up out of their land that I have given to them. Adonai, your God, has said it. How can anybody read the Bible and call themselves a believer and not believe this? Yeah, thank you, Lord. You see some people call themselves believer and they say, oh, Israel doesn't have significance. Are you not reading the book? You can't get more explicit than that. It says it so clearly. It says they will plant vineyards and drink their, some of the best wines in the world are from the Golan. I've taken you to these places. The Golan has amazing, amazing wines. It talks about the fruit that will be born there from the gardens. I'm telling you, oranges, an orange in Israel, an orange is the most magnificent orange that you could ever imagine, my friends. It is really, it is something else. It is the sweetest. I never drink orange juice. I just don't do it. It's a little too acidic for me. Okay, it's TMI. Okay, but when I go to Israel, man, I just crank the stuff. It is so delish. I love the orange juice in Israel. Wow. So hold on though. Let me get this straight. It says, when will the Jewish people again be plucked up out of their land that God has given them? When? Never. That's what it says in the book. If you believe this book, that's what you believe. If you don't believe this book, you can make all the excuses you want. It says never, never to be plucked back up out of their land. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. Israel is there to stay. This is according to the book. Let God be true and every man a liar. Zechariah chapter 2, please. Zechariah chapter 2. And this relates to what is happening in the world in our time. Why? Because, whoo, man, I'm telling you what, God cares about his beloved people and his land. The land where he says, God says this in another scripture, that is a place where I have placed my name. Dude, jeez, man, the creator of the universe placed his name on that land. Do you think he cares? Well, let's see. Zechariah 2, verse 12 says this. For thus says Adonai Tzavaot, the Lord of hosts, he has sent me after glory to the nations that plunder you, because whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. This is what the God of creation says. You mess with his people, you mess with the apple of his eye. That in literary terms, in the day, that's talking about the centermost part of the eye. Friends, how sensitive is your eye? Man, you get a little speck of dirt and you're like, oh, whoa, whoa, and you're blinking it out for half an hour there. You know, and God forbid anything kind of solid is coming toward your eye. It's, you know, no, God says that he who touches Israel touches the apple of his eye. You're sticking your finger in God's eye. It's what he said. Zechariah 2, you read it yourself. Read it yourself online. It's explicit and powerful and visceral, my friends. God cares for and will defend Israel. Amen? Continuing in Zechariah chapter 12. You see, friends, this is why Rabbi Robert used to say, keep your eyes glued on Israel, because that is God's timetable. Not the good old U.S. of A. I love the United States of America. I'd give my life for this country. But as Israel goes, so goes the world. And we have seen that. And even now, what you're seeing in this conflict, this has massive spiritual ramifications also. And you see even, oh, in such a tragic way, you see even America, their support for Israel is being shaken right now. For the first time in the history of our country, the majority or a plurality is not for Israel. That's never happened in the history of the United States of America. Well, you know what? What do we read? Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1 says this. chapter 12, verse 1 says, we could know this. What does the word say? The burden of the word of Adonai concerning Israel. A declaration of Adonai who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and formed the spirit of man within him. Behold, this is what God says. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling. Other translations say a cup of trembling to all the surrounding peoples when they besiege Jerusalem as well as Judah. Moreover, in that day, I will make Jerusalem a massive stone for all the people. All who try to lift it will be cut to pieces. Nevertheless, all the nations of the earth will be gathered together against her. Oof. No, I didn't get an amen. I don't want to amen that one either, but that's what the word says. We see this. My goodness, it's so crazy and disproportionate how the world is against this tiny country that's doing so much good for the world. And yet the whole world, it doesn't make logical sense. Ask some of these protesters and people a couple of logical questions about it, and they won't have an answer. This is because it's not about making sense. It's a spiritual issue. God says explicitly that he will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling for the world. Imagine this tiny country the size of New Jersey. That's the size of the equivalent, the size of New Jersey, but the whole earth shakes from what happens there. Shakes. Beloved, you can't get more clear proof that the Bible is true than this. Billions of people, what did I hear? 8 billion people? I don't know, something like that. Billions of people in the world, over 200 countries in the world, the vast majority of which are much larger, yet this country of 10 million people, less than the state of Georgia, in a sliver of land, shakes the whole globe. Friends, this is more than coincidental. It's more than coincidental. God talked to me, he told us. And by the way, the overwhelming United Nations votes against Israel are not surprising either. We read about this. It should come as no surprise. How could they vote this way? Does it make any sense? It's not about making sense. It's about the Bible is true. That's what it's about. Zechariah 12, a little later. But in the end, God will fight for Israel. Amen. Hear these words in Zechariah 12, verse 8, that are still yet in the future. This is a prophecy of something that's not yet fulfilled, but will be one day. Ooh, what a day that will be. Zechariah 12, 8. In that day, Adonai will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem so that the weakest among them that day will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of Adonai before them. It will happen in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Woo! Manischewitz. We're having it this week. Friends, it doesn't matter what the United Nations says. God is crystal clear here what he thinks. Romans 11. And friends, as our people come into our land, you got to understand this, friends. This is something we see time after time, and historically we see this as well. What happens to our Jewish people in a physical sense often has a ripple effect in the spiritual realm amongst our people also. And so as our people come into our land, there is a concurrent spiritual renewal of the Jewish people. And so what does Paul tell the Gentile believers in Yeshua about his Jewish people? Okay, let's hear what Paul says. He's speaking to Gentiles, and it's about his Jewish people. Verse 11, I say then, did they stumble? The Jewish people stumble so as to fall. They did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their false steps, salvation has come to the Gentiles, for a purpose, for a calling, to provoke Israel to jealousy. Now, if there, being the Jewish people's transgression, leads to riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? But I'm speaking to you who are Gentiles, insofar as I am an emissary to the Gentiles, I spotlight my ministry if somehow I might provoke to jealousy my own flesh and blood and save some of them. For if their rejection leads to the reconciliation of the world, then what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? This revival of the Jewish people in their own land parallels their restoration into the kingdom of God with their Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. It is absolutely uncanny how even the first Aliyah in the late 1800s, the second Aliyah, and 1948 and in 1967 when they captured Jerusalem, how all of these physical fulfillments of the prophecies of the nation of Israel had very, very clear spiritual ripple effects amongst our people about our people coming to faith, and not only coming to faith more than ever before, but also coming to faith and wanting to retain our identity as who we are as Jewish people. This all is a new phenomenon since we read about it all in the New Covenant, where it was the case for almost everybody at that time. There is this ripple effect, which is also clear in Scripture. Jeremiah 23, friends. Jeremiah 23, thank you for sticking with me. Friends, in the end, in a time yet to come, it will be complete. This whole story, I started at the beginning of the story, Bereshit, in Genesis with Abram, being called. And I'm gonna bring you out as a nation to look north, south, east, west, start all the way back there. Now we get to what it will be the end of the story when Messiah reigns. And friends, here's the great thing about how all this stuff relates to this week in Passover. Because when Messiah comes and when he's reigning here on this earth again, then Passover that we all celebrate is gonna be tweaked just a little bit. Okay, so you know, you're gonna have to print up a new Haggadah. Once Yeshua comes, we're going to have to tweak it a little bit. How do I know that? It says it right here in the Bible, Jeremiah chapter 23 in the Tanakh. It says this, verse 5, "Behold, days are coming." This is in the future yet. Is it a declaration of Adonai? "When I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king wisely and execute justice and righteousness in the land." This is Messiah who's reigning. "In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called, Adonai, our righteousness, the Lord, our righteousness. Therefore, behold, days are coming, says Adonai, when they will no longer say, as Adonai lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Rather, as Adonai lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the lands where he had banished them, so they will dwell in their own soil." Friends, there will come a day when Israel will live in safety and will have King Yeshua, Melech Yeshua, the Lord, our righteousness. And it even specifically says that they will not be terrified. Isn't that interesting? There's so much with terrorism today. It says they will not be terrified. We are not far from this prophetic fulfillment. Our people are returning. Friends, it is exciting. The prophets of old look to this day that we are living in and we get to live in. And so we say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed be they who come in the name of the Lord. Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. Even so, come quickly, Lord Yeshua. But in the meantime, we will stand with the angels as watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. The title of my message is God's Timetable. Thank you, Lord. And now I'm going to take a breath. You know, bow your heads for just a moment. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer. Don't leave me if you're watching online. Don't leave me. If you have never said a prayer to receive Yeshua into your heart, if you've never said that prayer and you'd like to today, raise your hand and we'll pray together. Friends, I gave you the greatest evidence of that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is God that you ever will find. I gave it to you today. If you'd like to commit your life to the Lord and you've never done so, just wave your hand to me. We'll have a simple prayer. Is there anyone here? Is there anyone? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Well, I am excited, friends. Thank you, Lord. You can look up again. I'm excited, friends, because I wanted to share this message with you, and I sent you an email about this, all you members, because I want to have an opportunity to be a blessing. Our congregation is going to be sending 7 of our young adults to Israel on a trip to be a blessing to Israel, sure to see the land, but also to be a blessing to the land. And they've been raising money like crazy. We did 7 of them, and the trip is very expensive, of course, although it's heavily subsidized. They've been doing a lot of fundraising. I want us for a congregation to come together to help them get to Israel. Now, it's interesting because the trip is scheduled in the not too distant future here. And so might it be delayed because of the conflict? Maybe. We'll have to wait and see. But either way, the funds are going to go to help these 7 people get there. So whether it's when they're planning or if the trip is delayed a little bit, it's not going to be canceled. It would just be delayed. We're going to receive a special offering. Bring down the screen if you can, Carolyn, and go ahead and put up the QR code, if you will. I want for us to bless Israel, bless our young people who are going to be blessing Israel. All this word about Israel, we got to impart this to our young people. This is some of the stuff I share with the young people on the trip. So I really want to ask if you are willing to help us to bless our young people. In just a minute, the musicians are going to sing. If you have a check or cash, I want you to bring it. We took out the other offerings that they're empty again. I want you to bring an offering. This is just going to go towards blessing Israel. And if you would like to use the QR code is on the screen right now. All you got to do is take your smartphone with the camera app, like you're acting like you're taking a picture, and it will have a link that you just press on and take you to the PayPal site. In the notes of the PayPal site, write Israel or young adults, whatever you'd like. Thank you. I see a number of people taking out their cameras right now and their phones. Either write Israel or young adults in the notes section. Israel would be better. Okay. Oh yeah, because if we get the Ruach HaKodesh. Please write Israel in the notes section. So those of you online who are watching, or those of you listening on a podcast, please help us out. You can go to bethelel.org, or there should be a link to our PayPal site right underneath the stream. If you're on YouTube or if on any of the podcast and the notes, it will show, and in the links of the podcast, it will have a link to our PayPal site. Please help us out. Help out our young people. This is not something that's going to go to Beth Hillel. This is going to be helping to send our young people to the land. We've sent a number of our young people before, but I really believe in Israel, as you all can definitely hear. I hope this message today has inspired you. It has motivated you. It has excited you about Israel and about why we advocate and support Israel. And that this does not mean, by the way, that Israel always makes perfect or right decisions. And it does not mean that we agree with every decision that the government in Israel makes. We do not. I could tell you a number of things I disagree with that Israel decides politically. It's not the political part at all. This is the spiritual principle and part that we're talking about here. So with that, I'd ask you to please try to give as generously as you can. We want to support our young people in this great calling that they have in their life. So the musicians are going to play another song, and I'd ask you, if you have a physical gift here, a check, I ask you to bring maybe a check, or if you have a credit card, you could use the QR code. But if it's something physical, a check or cash, bring it to the boxes on either side, and I know the Lord is going to bless you richly for it, because, wait for it, God told Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee. You've been on that trip before. It's life-changing, isn't it? And so with that, let's all stand if we can. And in the meantime, let's give praise to the Lord and let's receive the special offering.
I'm Israel, hi, I'm
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah, or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.